The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." But didn't Jesus already know that he was his heavenly Father's beloved Son? Why does God have to tell Jesus something that he already knows? Perhaps it's because the Heavenly Father wants Jesus to be firmly grounded in his identity as beloved child of God before he is tempted in the wilderness, which immediately follows his baptism, and then begins his earthly ministry. And so God tears open the heavens and reminds Jesus, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And God does the same for us at our baptism. Lutheran pastor and scholar David Lowes notes, "Baptism is one of those things that has both an objective and a subjective quality. Objectively, we are absolutely God's beloved child. This is the promise of baptism. But subjectively, we may know or may not know. We may believe or not believe. We may not even think of that truth, that we are God's beloved child. We may or may not live out our lives from that inner place in our soul where our true self, our identity as beloved child of God, resides. It is so easy for you and me, fallible human beings that we are, to forget our fundamental identity as beloved child of God, and to go searching for our identity elsewhere, out there in the world of egos and social media, comparison and cynicism, judgmentalism and partisanship. And Jesus, being fully human, certainly must have felt some of those same identity issues. The New Testament letter to the Hebrews tells us that Jesus understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings that we do. And one of our greatest testings as a human being is to remember and live from our true identity as a beloved child of God. I think that we human beings have an innate need for sense of identity, to know who we are so that we feel we have a place in the world and that we are of worth. Today, in the sacrament of holy baptism, we affirm our foundational identity. Today, as Madeline, Sophia, and Benjamin are baptized, and we all reaffirm our own baptismal vows, God is reminding each of us who we are, our fundamental identity. You are my child, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased. But it is so easy for us to forget our objective foundational identity and to seek our identity in our occupation or in our nationality, our ego identity, our attachments to other things, or affiliations with certain groups. We are a school teacher or a priest or a plumber or a small business owner. We are a fan of the Broncos, or of the Nuggets, or of the Avalanche, or of the Rockies. We are a Republican, or a Democrat, a Rotarian, or a PEO sister, an Episcopalian, or a Lutheran, an American, or a Canadian. We say that we are all of these things. But ultimately, these identities describe us. They don't define us. You may strongly identify with your occupation, but then who are you when you retire? You may strongly identify with a sports team, but why let a sports team ruin your day when they lose? You may strongly identify with your political party, but why allow politics to cause divisions in your family or rifts in your friendships? Neither Democratic nor Republican Party even existed 200 years ago. 250 years ago, our nation didn't exist. These outer identities are fleeting. Only our identity in God is eternal. Professor and author Stanley Hauerwas puts it this way: we know ourselves truthfully only when we know ourselves in relation to God. We know who we are only when we can place ourselves, locate our stories within God's story. Unquote. And here's the thing, my friends. It matters. Who we think we are matters. Because who we think we are forms who we become. Lutheran pastor and author Nadia Boltz-Weber notes that experiments have been done where elementary school teachers were told at the beginning of the term that certain children in their classroom were gifted, regardless of how smart they actually were. And the study showed that by the end of the year, those same kids were scoring off the charts in comparison to their peers. They became what they were believed to be. Lutheran pastor and scholar David Lowes notes again that baptism is one of those things that has both an objective and subjective quality. Our subjective, descriptive identities can, if we allow them, supplant our objective, true identity as beloved child of God. And so it is vitally important that we are reminded who we truly are. Baptism does that. It is the sacrament of identity. That's why four times a year on our major baptismal feast days, whether we celebrate a baptism or not, we renew our baptismal vows to remind us who we truly are, beloved child of God with whom God is well pleased, and to recommit to living out our lives from that identity. And our baptism does something else for us. It reconnects us with one another. For if we are each individually a beloved child of God, it follows that we are beloved siblings one to another. And we all need desperately to remember that communal aspect of our baptismal identity and to live into that relationship as beloved siblings one to another. For our world is being torn apart by all manner of divisiveness, wherein we human beings, brothers and sisters in God, attack one another, both physically in the many wars and shootings that continue to happen in our world, and verbally in the malicious attacks we hurl at those whom we falsely perceive as being different from us. We may be different in those things that describe us, our occupations, our political persuasions, our group affinities, sexual orientation, nationality, race, what have you. But we are not different in that which defines us. We are each beloved, a child of God, beloved siblings one to another. Episcopal priest Kat Banakis tells of the time when her mother was diagnosed with cancer. Kat called a friend of hers whose mother had also had cancer. And that friend walked her through what to expect in the days ahead. Kat realized that she had become a member of a vast network of people whose parents had cancer. And then she began to notice how many other unseen networks of people there were in the world. She writes, "Sometimes I wonder what secret networks the people I pass on the street are part of. The people who have run marathons, or written plays, or taught someone else to drive, or had a sibling with special needs. The people who donated blood yesterday, or the people who live with an eating disorder. All part of hidden networks connecting us in our identity." And so today, as we celebrate the baptisms of Madeline, Benjamin, and Sophia, we are reminded that what unites us is far stronger than what divides us. We are all children of the same Heavenly Father, all siblings one to another, in our foundational identity with Christ in God.